Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Crazy out there. So, you know what? Did we make a decision? Are we going to be able to marry somebody on Valentine's Day here in the studio? Don't me.
I thought you. Greg's already said that we can't do it this year.
But why?
I don't know.
I don't understand why. Why does that need to be?
Because we
want
to
Valentine's
make it
a Day is in less
thing.
Than a month.
Right, yeah. But all we got to do is say, caller number 7, if you're getting married, come on in and I'll marry you on the show.
Well, I see where you're going with this, Greg. I think if we audition people for it, so we picked like the best, most deserving right. couple, that would take some time. So
Mandy's?
Well, I'd rather do it on our show than at the Mandy's, because then we get more bang for the buck. People sure. would listen.
So because February 14th, 2025.
Now,
Mason and I are going to marry somebody.
A spring wedding.
June?
People like to get married in spring.
Don't people get married in June?
Yeah, June wedding. May.
Yeah.
May wedding, sure. That kind of thing.
Sure.
Oh, just so we're okay with that?
Yeah, I have no problem with marrying someone. Let's just do it. All right. It's all
nobody likes my ideas anymore.
Like no, I said,
let's have a Let's have a Mason movie night for Bob Marley. One
I
want to
see that movie.
Oh my God, let's do it.
Oh, it looks so good.
But I sent it to you. I said, how about Mason movie? You guys, response.
I didn't get that.
Is the trailer out for that movie?
Yeah, it is okay. So good. I've seen two trailers for it.
You know who might go to that movie, believe it or not? Michael.
MT,
he loves Bob Marley. Michael has not set foot in a movie theater in about 10 years.
Yeah.
So he might go to that.
I saw three morning movies this week, this weekend.
Morning movies?
Yeah, like they have like 9:30 shows now.
Oh.
So I saw.
Were you the only one in the theater when
no,
those happened?
No, believe it or not, there were more. I saw Mean Girls, the musical.
What'd you think?
Which I thought was okay.
Okay.
Doesn't look very good.
I like that Renee Rapp, who is the lead in that, who plays Regina
George.
She
was on Saturday Night Live this week. Yeah. She sang her butt off. The other one I saw was a really hard one, Zone of Interest, which was a Holocaust movie. And I was just told you have to see it. Emily said you have to see it. It's really hard. I wouldn't go see it.
All right.
I saw Iron Claw this week.
Oh, yeah. How was Iron Claw? I've not seen it.
That's another uplifting fight.
No, that was not uplifting in the slightest.
I don't know why you subjected yourself to that.
I went into it with not seeing the trailer, not knowing anything about the Von Erich family. Was killing.
I'm going to get totally ripped up for Iron Claw 2.
Yeah, there's not going to be an Iron Claw 2.
I know. I heard how this one ends. Yeah,
I went out and saw Wonka this week. That was pretty
good. Yeah.
Good.
Really good. Good.
What did you think? I like Chalamet. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I think it's a musical.
Yeah, it is a musical.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't like, Allison and I looked at each other like 20 seconds in like, okay. Huh. That's what we're in for.
By
nice.
The way, a lot of people, they did not let anybody know that Mean Girls was a musical. They didn't advertise it as, so a lot of people walked in there and said, what? What did you think of SNL?
Liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was very unfunny.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know
unfunny.
Who that Jacob Elordi was.
Jacob Elordi's done, he was in Saltburn, Priscilla, Euphoria.
I thought the skit where the Bachelor show where the tiny guys.
The little
that
guy.
Was, that was really
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, that was funny, yeah. But I thought generally a miss. He's a good-looking guy, but.
I may get to go to SNL. I'm talking to our guy, Jeff Blake.
Oh, yeah?
When
are you there?
Jeff's out on paternity leave in 2 weeks. I'm there, not this weekend, but next weekend. Here's my dilemma.
Do you know who's hosting?
I don't, but Jeff will know. But here's my dilemma. 8:30 Laker game.
Yeah.
11:30 SNL, 5 blocks away. Can I make it?
5 blocks away?
Let's say the game ends.
Oh, right. I know where you are. You're at MSG.
I'm at 31st. So it's more like 10 blocks away. I'm at 31st.
And
SNL's
you
at like
56, right?
More like 46, I think. But
you're right. It is more like 46.
So it's about 10 blocks. But if the game ends at 11, you've been to SNL. You gotta be in your seat early. And,
you do.
And, you know, I don't even know if they're going to let me do it. All right, 2 o'clock call of the day. Greg, did you or Laura answer these calls?
Laura answered.
Laura, is the guy on line 3 got a problem with me?
He just thinks your takes are terrible.
Oh, nice.
Oh, good. That means, Eric, you are the 2 o'clock call of the day. Hi.
Hi. John, this is Eric from Long Beach.
Hi, Eric from Long Beach.
So, John, here's my problem with you guys. You guys talk about the Lakers all the time and what they need and what we're missing. And you talk about the three-point shooting and all that.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the thing the Lakers have been missing for seasons, for years, is someone who can attack off the dribble. We do not have anyone like that on this team that can go and get their own bucket. When this offense bogs down and they're double-teaming LeBron and they're double-teaming AD, they have no. They don't fear anybody else on the team. No one else can go get their own shot. We have to rely on them making open threes. And we see, you talked about D'Angelo and how his shooting fluctuates. It's the same thing with the rest of the team. Get us somebody that can go get their own bucket, like a Cam Thomas from the Nets who killed us on Friday. Get someone like that, and then maybe something will change with his offense.
Eric, I kind of half agree with you. You forget that LeBron is better at getting his own bucket than almost anybody right. in NBA history. Now, to your point, you said when they double team LeBron,
where does the ball go?
And that's when they go into AD. Austin Reeves, believe it or not, is pretty good at creating his own shot. If you watch it, he does all that herky jerky stuff in the middle.
He does. He hangs in the air,
but
gets fouled.
But Eric, you've actually made a point here. I don't even know if you realized you were making. This is why I don't think the Lakers can start Cam Reddish and Jared Vanderbilt at the same time, because you don't have to guard them.
Yep.
Creating your own shot in the NBA, what you described is the number one thing that everybody's looking for, is a guy who you have to double team. And the Lakers have two of them. They have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Now, D'Angelo Russell has been showing signs of this, but he's not consistent. So I think you make a fair point. But remember, they have two guys who can create their own shot almost better than anybody. You have to double LeBron, and you have to double AD. So once you accept that, the other three guys just have to be able to make shots. And that's what they haven't been able to do consistently. All right. I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, there you go. There's Eric. I don't know. I thought he was going to bring the heat.
I tried to.
He didn't really bring the heat.
All right, let me ask you guys a weird question.
Okay.
You know, we're at January 22nd,
correct,
which is a famous anniversary, by the way. Do you guys know what?
I think it's a Kobe anniversary, right?
Yeah, 81 mm-hmm. points.
Yeah.
He scored in 2006. But if you go back, Hoops Hype did this. If you go back 1 year, 365 days.
Okay.
What NBA player has played the most NBA games? And I'll tell you, it's not Mikal Bridges, who never misses a game because his team isn't in the playoffs. So this includes playoffs. What player, he's played 91 games over the past 365 days, more than any other.
So he's gone deep into the playoffs.
I saw this tweet.
Oh,
so
you did?
It's a star player, too. So you have to make sure it's a star player.
Yeah.
Not consecutive games. Most games.
Most games. 91 total games over 365 days.
How about Giannis?
Good guess. No.
Joker?
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I bet you I could give you guys 100 guesses and you wouldn't guess this name.
Okay.
It's Anthony Davis.
I would have never got that.
It goes against his narrative.
I know. Because everybody thinks he misses tons of games. But the fact is, over the past calendar year, he's been as reliable as anybody in the league.
He's only missed two games this year?
Right. And LeBron's only missed four.
Yeah, I mean,
which is why they should be better than 22 and 22.
This is the problem. The problem is they're on a streak where they've got both of these guys for a long stretch, and they're still only 500. It's like, come on, give those guys some help.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, I still think a lot of, like, if you listen to people on ESPN and people on TNT. I still think a lot of teams would pick him in a playoff series against anybody but Denver, even though they're 22 and 22, because they know LeBron and AD are going to show up. You want to take another call?
Sure.
Let's go to Ramsey in the OC. Hey, Ramsey, you're on ESPN LA.
Oh, I like this, yeah.
Okay, and then he did.
Hey, Ramsey.
Ramsey?
I think we lost him.
Oh, I like that what it said on the line.
Yeah,
there.
I did.
Oh, he was hot.
He said,
too.
You guys are stupid.
What is he, like, 9?
I don't know.
Oh, man, Ramsey.
I think he had a kid in the car. But no, his.
Oh, that was. So the kid wasn't the caller.
No.
Because that would have been novel if we had, like, a 9-year-old at us and telling us we're wrong.
You guys are stupid.
Like that kid that called the Pat McAfee show and said, F Boston.
I love that kid. But no, his first word was, they're stupid. And I was like, okay, we're, you know, naming where you call them. They're stupid. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
That's what we like. Yeah. We like people calling us stupid.
What were you stupid about?
They didn't say what we were stupid about.
The Lakers.
About trying to trade D'Angelo Russell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his his fans and he's got his detractors. He's a very divisive player. All right, I want to get to, we were talking about Tony Romo and word salad.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this clip.
Okay.
And tell me what the hell Tony Romo is talking about. Now, you'll hear Jim Nantz do good Jim Nantz things. Then you'll hear Tony jump in.
Sliding left. On the go. Throws. End zone. Touchdown. The Bills score from 13 yards out. Shakir hauls it in.
And that's on Snead, his first touchdown given up this year by the great corner who has not given up to anyone. He travels with the top receivers consistently, and they leave him out on the island thinking it's going to be fine. But this is a dime, not a donkey, by Josh Allen into the corner of the end zone to give Buffalo the lead. But this is a dime, not a donkey.
What is a dime, not a donkey?
A dime is.
I get the dime part.
Is a pass like you throw it to a dime? It's accurate.
Yes.
I've never heard. Is donkey?
He threw a donkey
like a duck. I've heard.
Like, threw a duck like a wounded duck.
Right.
Right.
But I've never heard. Have you guys ever heard donkey?
I think he totally made it up. I think it's just like he'll just say whatever pops. Dime. There you go. It's a dime, not a donkey.
It's just a really big animal to throw. I've no idea.
Yeah,
what
no
it could possibly.
No clue what Tony Romo's talking about.
That's
most
your boy
of the time.
Tony Romo there.
Yeah,
John.
There you go, John. There's your
just
guy.
Just misunderstood.
That throw, by the way, was incredible.
Oh yeah, he threw it to
the only place he could throw it.
Yeah, it was a
dime.
That's why
I'm surprised.
That was a dime,
Greg,
not a donkey.
You don't think Josh Allen played great in that game?
No, I think he played very well.
They're killing you, by the way, in the Mason and Ireland Mafia. They're like, I can't believe Greg is a Josh Allen detractor.
No, that's every game. But also, he fumbled the ball at one point, and if the guy just would have fallen from Kansas City, would have just fallen on the ball, that game was over.
A scoop and game score. The dream of a scoop and score has led to more mistakes.
And every NFL coach will tell you
just fall on it. But everybody wants the glory of a scoop and score, and it screws them over.
Because it didn't happen, because the fumble didn't actually become a fumble, no one thinks about it anymore. But that was a massive mistake from Josh Allen. He also missed Stephon Diggs. He had three shots.
No, he didn't miss Stephon. He hit Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs did not catch
it. In the end zone, wasn't it? He missed Stephon Diggs open.
No, that was somebody else when he got hit.
He missed that guy on the crossing pattern. But
he had three shots at it. He missed it. He let Tyler Bass miss that field goal. I think there was a lot of things that he did wrong.
So let me ask you guys about something.
Mm-hmm.
If I taunt in a game.
Right.
Okay, if I come up to you and I taunt you and I just stand over you, and it's an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on me. What if I do it to a cheerleader?
Mm.
Should that be a penalty?
That's a good question. Let's do it next. Mace in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Okay, Mace, iSpot Active sent a shirt to you over the weekend.
This is so exciting. I got my iSpot Active shirt. I had it all loaded up.
Let me explain what it is, and then I'll get you to give a review. So iSpot Active is wearable cryotherapy. You put on these compression shirts, and they have ice cold gel packs that you put into the shirt, and you put the shirt on for 20 minutes, and it's wearable cryotherapy. Mace, you had never tried it before this weekend. What did you think?
I'll tell you what. It was great. On my shoulders and my upper back. It was fantastic. I haven't used the leg part yet, but the shoulder part, it made a huge difference in my flexibility, especially on my right shoulder.
All right, so that's just one of the areas that iSpot Active targets. And here's what you need to do if you want to learn more. Go to this website, iSpotActive.com, iSpotActive, iSpotActive.com. You'll see a testimonial from a doctor on there. You'll see Hall of Famer James Worthy, who's one of the owners of the company, on there telling you why iSpot Active has developed a better way to ice. So if you're somebody that suffers back pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain, knee pain, and you want to target it, and you don't want to drop $75 to go to a cryo chamber every week, buy one of these compression shirts or pants, and you will be less sore. Mason tried it. I tried it. We both love it. And here's the good news. Right now, flash sale, 30% off. This thing's going off the shelf, so I convinced these guys to keep the flash sale going. Flash 710, all one word. Flash 710. Go to iSpotActive.com. You get 30% off. And they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So for any reason it doesn't work for you, you can send it back and get a full refund. Find out why everybody who tries this swears by it. iSpotActive, iSpotActive.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
But this is a dime, not a donkey.
Yeah.
The sound of Tony Romo
dime,
saying.
Dime, not a donkey.
Just making crap up.
All right, so I want you to picture you're an official at a football game.
I'm an official, okay.
Okay, and the Packers are playing the Cowboys in Dallas.
Okay.
Now, the Cowboy cheerleaders are pretty famous.
Yes, they are. World famous.
You're about to hear from one named Darian Lassiter. She's been a Cowboy cheerleader for 5 years. She says the Packers were so disrespectful to the cheerleaders when they beat the Cowboys week ago that she thinks they should have been given a penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. Is she right? Here's Darian Lassiter.
So I cheer for the Cowboys, and y'all, the Cowboys versus Packers game last Sunday, I have never experienced such disrespect from the other team's players to the cheerleaders in my 5 years as an NFL cheerleader. Like, we would literally be minding our own business, and the Packers just scored a touchdown. This is one example. They would come up to us, standing on the sidelines, minding our own business, and start yelling at us. Like, sometimes it was this close to our face. Also, I feel like that's unsportsmanlike conduct, and it's so crazy how they can do that. They can't do that to the Cowboys players or any other players, but they can do it to the cheerleaders, and nothing's going to happen. Like, I understand the playoffs is a huge deal. Like, I truly get it. But that does not mean your humbleness and respect for women flies out the window. Like, what is going on? I can't. So I'm rooting for every team but them now that the Cowboys are out.
Okay. So, Greg, she makes an interesting point. If the Packers did that to Mike McCarthy or any of the Cowboys players, they would be flagged for 15 yards. Should there be a penalty for verbally abusing the Cowboy cheerleaders?
I think it's extremely wrong to do that. I just can't see how it would be a penalty into the game because they are not a player or coach.
Brian, what do you think?
I think it kind of does warrant a penalty. Like, they're representing the Cowboys. They're part of their organization, and they're on the field. I mean, they're not, yeah, like, in the play area, but it's – to her point, too, it's very – it's a gray area.
Mace, what do you think?
I cannot imagine them making that call or trying to explain that call.
All right, Laura is the only woman on the show.
Wait, does every team have cheerleaders?
Most,
but I don't think all do.
All right, Laura, did you hear what Darian Lassiter just said? I know you were working on something.
No.
All right, yeah. So she's a Cowboy cheerleader. She says that the Packers players were so disrespectful and so abusive to the Cowboy cheerleaders when they won that game a week ago Sunday in Dallas, that she doesn't understand why, if they did what they did to a Cowboy player or coach, they'd be flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct, but there is no penalty for mistreating the cheerleaders. Do you think there should be a penalty for that?
I think it depends how disrespectful it gets, but yeah, why not?
I'll tell you what, I don't think I would make that call, but I would certainly, if I was the league, find a way to punish those individual players who got in the faces of women and went at them. That is just out of line.
I was hoping one of you would go there. I think what this is a horrible look,
yeah,
for the Packers players. That you're yelling to women that can't do anything back to you.
Right.
I mean, obviously they're just standing there with their hands on their hips.
Right.
You know, and they can't respond.
Yeah. They're also at work, so right. they can't do any because they're working. So
but it's just about their job. I think too. Mason has landed
it's
on
it's kind of hostile workplace,
right,
isn't it?
Right. So, Greg, I think you're right when you say I would think long and hard about letting it affect the result of the game.
Yes, right.
I think that once you cross that line, we're getting into dangerous territory. Like, for example, if I celebrate a touchdown, and like yesterday, Travis Kelce on one of his touchdowns threw the ball into the stands.
Yeah.
If I throw the ball into the stands and I hit a peanut vendor and I hurt him,
sure,
is that a penalty?
Right. You can't make that a penalty.
No. What it is the league fines you.
Yes.
So if I were the Packers, or I mean, if I were the NFL, I would get a hold of the tape. I would interview these girls. I would say, do you remember the number or the names of the players that were abusive? As we all know, there are cameras everywhere now.
Yep.
You ask anybody who happens to have video of what she's describing, please send it to us.
Yep.
You get it. And
you see the number of those guys.
To Laura's point, depending on exactly what they said and did,
mm-hmm.
you then either you fine them.
Yep.
And if it's so ridiculous, if it's such a blatant example of workplace harassment, you could suspend them for a game. I hope that it wouldn't come to that.
Yeah.
But I think you guys have landed on the proper solution. Greg's right that you don't want it to
affect the outcome
of the game.
Right.
But Mason's right in that you can't just do nothing.
Right.
So I think I think they should do something.
Yeah. We're all in agreement?
Yep.
Should do something.
And by the way, not that it matters to the point, but there are 7 teams that don't have cheerleaders. The Bills, Bears, Browns, Packers, Chargers, and Giants. Giants and Steelers don't have cheerleaders.
The Packers don't? Not surprised.
Yeah. Well, it's freezing there.
It's freezing.
I mean,
but there's other Minnesota has them, but they play inside.
Yeah, they play inside.
The Rams have good cheerleading, good dance team.
Buffalo Bills has them, and they play in frigid cold weather.
Yeah.
Kansas City played.
No, Buffalo does not have them.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of Kansas City. Kansas City has them, and they played in 0 degrees last week.
Yeah.
So it all kind of depends on where you are. But if you're going to play
the game, boy. So guess what I did Saturday?
Played poker?
Went and played a little poker.
Where'd you go?
I went to Commerce Casino, which is spectacular. Best poker
we've had,
room, only place I play.
We've had tournaments there before.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've done tournaments there. I had...
Did you win or lose? Be honest.
I won $378 on a single hand.
Do you remember the hand?
Yeah. I went 10 jack down.
Okay.
Okay.
What game are you playing?
I'm playing 5 card.
Draw.
Yeah. Okay. So 10 jack I'm sitting on. Up comes queen king on the flop.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, got a shot.
You're open-ended for a straight.
Ace on the turn.
Okay.
At this point, there are 3 other players who are staying in because I think they're sitting on pair of aces, pair of kings,
and
I've got a straight.
No, yeah, you've got the nuts.
I've got the nuts in that hand. And I slow
played
them.
Did you slow play? I was just going to say, did you slow play or did you try and bet them up?
I just reeled them in.
What position
reeled
were you
them in? What's that?
What position were you in?
Meaning?
Like, on the table.
Oh, I was first on the table.
Oh, so you
passed.
You were at a disadvantage,
right,
actually.
I called.
You check.
Oh, no, I would call back.
You checked first, and then you called.
Correct. Then I called.
They should notice that if you're calling.
Checking and calling, yeah.
Yeah,
no, they should have seen it coming.
After you did it the first time, I don't know why they didn't figure out that's what you were up to.
Yeah.
He's got something.
Yeah, I got something, exactly. So I was very, very proud of myself.
Did you notice, did it reach the point where they had to turn over cards?
Yes.
What did the second place hand have? 3 aces or something?
2 aces down.
Yeah.
Ace up.
Okay.
Straight beats him.
He had trip aces.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was no pair. There was no pair on the table.
No pair on the table, exactly. Yeah. Oh, so great.
Oh, it's so fun when that happens.
It is.
Is that poker room at Commerce open all day?
All day. And I play there usually on the weekends. And it is it's the largest poker room in America. There's no bigger poker room than Commerce.
As a matter of fact, we like that place so much that in the last 2 Mason and Ireland poker tournaments, you and I have been knocked out, and then we spent our own money and stayed.
Exactly. Just went and dumped some more money on the table. No.
You know what's good there?
What?
After the Mandy's, we had breakfast there. Their Filipino breakfast was amazing.
Is it good?
Yeah.
That's right. Also the side of the Mandy's.
Super good.
Yeah, lots of poker in the Mandy's.
Coming up, I got a question for you.
Okay.
You get a phone call later today.
Right.
It's from someone who wants to hire Greg, Brian, or Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of the 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Steve, I'm thinking about making Laura Romo, the producer of my afternoon drive show, I'm here in Chicago.
Okay.
Do you give Laura a strong personal recommendation, or knowing you don't want to lose her, do you say, well, she's not available and I have no, like, do you help her,
right,
or do you protect your own interests?
Correct. Yeah, right. I totally get that. Right. By the way, the other thing, Hall of Fame announcements come up in 34 minutes. They will start
NFL?
The announcements. No, the
baseball.
MLB. Okay. So we'll talk about that too coming up. There are a couple of guys who are getting into the Hall of Fame that are very, very questionable. I think they're getting into the Hall of Fame. All coming up for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. So what's up, people? It is Monday. Lots of great football this weekend. Lakers split. They lose an embarrassing one on Friday, but bounce back big last night. Ireland, you brought up an interesting question.
All right, this is going to happen to you in your lifetime at some point, if it hasn't already. You are going to be asked about someone you work with and what you think of them.
Yes.
So the hypothetical I gave you was, it's Greg Bryan or Laura. You get a phone. We'll use Laura for an example. Laura, somebody calls, unbeknownst to Laura, she doesn't know they're calling you. And they say, hey, we're thinking about hiring Laura Romo to produce our afternoon drive show in Chicago.
Yep.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer that?
So you're saying the other guys are asking me. Yeah. Chicago's asking me.
Matter of fact, before you do, let me tell you how Les Snead handles this, the GM of the Rams.
Okay.
So obviously he has a defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris.
Great coach.
That is a huge part of whether or not the Rams win or lose. As a matter of fact, you and I think the Rams are at the beginning of a window in many respects. We know Stafford is 36, but...
but they've got all these young guys from Puka to Byron Young to Kobe Turner.
And most of the young talent is on defense.
Yep.
So Raheem Morris is an integral part of whatever the Rams are going to do next year. So Raheem Morris interviewed for the Falcons job over the weekend. And Les Snead was doing a presser, and somebody said, hey, what do you think Raheem Morris would be a good head coach? And here's what Les Snead said.
I do want to say talk about Raheem just because I know he's interviewing for just about every head coaching job in the NFL right now, and it's been 3 years. But what I do, I haven't had a lot of opportunities to talk about him. Number one, I think we all know, great human being. The guy's coded to, let's call it, respect everyone, to build a relationship with everyone, no matter where you're at in the organization. And what's awesome is as he does that, you just see the respect flow back in his direction. And that's just he's coded for that. It's a superpower that I think would help any organization.
Okay. It's a superpower any organization. So in other words, it's obviously gonna hurt him if Raheem Morris leaves, but He decided to give him the strongest personal recommendation. Is that the right move or is that a mistake?
Okay, so...
because you're a Ram fan and a season ticket holder. If he leaves, this is going to affect your experience.
Correct. So I'll say this. Bergman, Laura, you guys get calls. Bergman, you're going to be the what would be a great position for Bergman?
The head of, at ESPN Network, the head of radio.
There you go. Okay. Head of radio at ESPN radio. Network. All radio. Of radio. And they come to me, they say, we want to take Greg. I would say, look, Greg is fantastic. You should absolutely take him. He is a spectacular candidate. I trust him. I know him. I've worked with him for years.
Even though you've personally told me that you don't want to lose Greg.
Correct. Even though. If it comes to a better opportunity. Like if you're a If you're a defensive coordinator and you want to be a head coach, you want your team behind you. If Raheem Morris has an opportunity somewhere else, good for him. I hope he gets it, just like I would hope for you, Bergman, that you got it, or Laura, or Brian. Any of you guys, if it's a better job, I'm all in for you.
You hit the nail on the head. If it is an opportunity for that person to improve their personal situation, you have to be supportive.
Yeah.
And it's the golden rule. You would want them to do that for you. You want to treat this opportunity for them like you would hope they would treat it for you.
Plus, what would you say, Ireland?
I would absolutely.
Get him out of here.
No. I'm like a great person to have a reference for because I tell people this all the time. I'll be honest and I will be your biggest advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I will say you would be hard pressed to find anybody who cares as much as Bergman. Matter of fact, you won't. You're not going to find anybody that cares as much as Greg does. He's the type of guy that if the show goes in the tank, he's losing sleep that night. that is, and that's a quality you can't find easily. You know, most people are punching a time clock like they're on the Flintstones. And
oh my God, this is like say nice things about Greg. I know it's wonderful. Good for you, Greg.
This never happens. So come on, keep going.
Yeah, no, but and I would do it for any of the three of you.
Yeah.
And but what I'm proud of here is that Les Snead did it, because he very easily could have gone, you know what? He's been a key part of our success, and we obviously don't want to lose him, but I won't say anything bad about him.
Right.
Click. Well, instead, he went over the top the other way. He went, I'm glad you asked me that, because I don't get a chance to talk about him a lot, and here's what I would say. And he made an impassioned case for why you should hire this guy. And you know what? That, in the long term, is going to McVay's great at getting his assistants head
coaching
jobs.
And that,
jobs.
To me, the Rams take a great deal of pride in that. I mean, every year they raid Sean McVay's coaching staff because he's got the bag of magic dust. And, you know, you've
remember Wade Phillips used to make the joke? Wade had a son that was in coaching.
Yes.
And he would say about his son, and he has had dinner with Sean McVay.
There you go.
He knows Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at I wouldn't be surprised. I guess he's not being talked to, but Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator now for the Rams, has been cooking in terms of growing his skill set to be a head coach. Raheem Morris, obviously, has already done it. You look at Zach Taylor. You look at Matt LaFleur. You look at Kevin O'Connell
in Minnesota.
I think that they take a great deal of pride in knowing that Brad Holmes – the player personnel director in Detroit.
Less recommended for the job in Detroit.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden the Rams become the place you go where you know they're going to care about you.
Yes.
That it's more important to them to treat people right than it is to win at all costs.
Yes.
And I think that that's rare. You know, a lot of people like what New England did with Gerard Mayo when he had an interview a few years ago, they said, don't go. We'll give you a clause that if Belichick ever leaves,
yep,
you can have the job. And it worked out for Mayo. But people did that at Syracuse with Jim Boeheim for 20 years, and Boeheim just never left.
Yes.
So you can try and keep the person there, even though you know they can get a better opportunity somewhere else.
But they'd be resentful.
Right.
And they would not necessarily be able to do their best work if they're pissed off.
So good for Les Snead, and I hope Raheem Morris gets a head coaching job.
So today, John, I said that today was the Hall of Fame announcement. It's actually tomorrow. The Hall of Fame announcement is tomorrow. I missed it by a day. But there are some guys on here that look like they're going to get in that I seriously question.
All right, I'll give you a yes or no first reaction.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
So here are the guys that are likely to get in. Adrian Beltre.
He's a yes.
Yes.
100%, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's absolutely in. Let's see. Gary Sheffield.
I think he's a yes, but I'm hearing he's right on the bubble.
He is on the bubble. He's at 78%.
There's some history that's causing issues.
Yes.
Such as what? Was he in the Mitchell Report?
It wasn't the Mitchell Report. What was it? I think it was something more...
Yeah, I don't remember exactly,
but I'm sure there's some personal stuff that people don't like, but he should be in just based off of his stats.
Yeah, phenomenal player.
Fourth all-time in saves, Billy Wagner looks like he's going to get in.
I never felt like Billy Wagner was a Goose Gossage, Mariano Rivera, Raleigh Fingers type closer. Now, fourth in saves all-time may get him in for a body of work thing, but Billy Wagner never struck fear into my heart when he came into the game. Did he for you?
He's a great closer. He did not, lifetime. It depends on how you view closers.
That's the problem.
Are closers so important that they become Hall of Famers? Like, for example,
there's only four or five of them in.
Kenley Jansen is number five in career saves. Now, is he a Hall of Famer? If Billy Wagner gets in, doesn't.
Where's Frankie Rodriguez? Is he third? And I don't, he's not in.
Frankie Rodriguez is not going in. Frankie Rodriguez is...
You're talking about K-Rod?
Yeah, K-Rod.
K-Rod.
I think he's third all-time or right around there. I might be wrong on that.
Rodriguez is four. Number four all-time in saves.
I think you said Billy Wagner was four. Wagner.
Okay, here's how it goes. Rivera, Hoffman, Lee Smith, Frankie, Franco, John Franco, and Billy Wagner.
Is Franco in?
Franco is not in.
No. So if he's five, why is
so
he...
So he's six.
Yeah. So at that point, and also... closers, it's difficult because you get a save just if you save three runs. You go with three runs, that gives you a save. It's kind of nonsense.
To me, what gets you into the Hall of Fame in any sport is postseason dominance,
yep,
mm-hmm, or a body of work that is so much better than your compatriots, than the people, your peers that you are playing against, that you were dominant in your era. That's where Wagner has an argument.
Okay. Playoffs, 1-1, 10.03 ERA.
So zero postseason dominance.
Yes. None.
Okay.
So
what about the body of work argument, though? That he was so much better than his fellow peers in his era that you got to put him in. You know who's a really hard guy to do this with? Philip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Philip Rivers, the quarterback of the Chargers, Brian, who was a great QB for you for a lot of years, has no postseason dominance, but was so good in the regular season when he played for the Chargers, you can make an argument that he should be in. Does he get in?
I think he does. So consistent, too, over the long body of work.
Yeah, I think he probably does eventually.
So this was the argument for Matthew Stafford until he won the Super Bowl. I honestly believe that Stafford winning that one Super Bowl puts him in.
I do too.
Because he has the
body of work.
The body of work argument that he would have been right on the bubble.
Yep.
But when you win the Super Bowl, that puts you over the top.
Okay, let me throw one.
If Rivers, by the way, had won a Super Bowl or maybe even gone to one, he'd be in for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Todd Helton looks like he's going to get in.
I mean, that's tough because of where he played. He played at Coors Field for most of his career.
Batted .316 lifetime.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, but at Coors Field, it was such an easy ballpark to hit at for a long time.
How about
time.
This? Lifetime especially 953 OPS.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great player, but I think the ballpark really hurts his argument.
And do you guys know the weird trivia question about Todd Helton that it doesn't have anything to do with baseball?
Something to do with being a backup quarterback.
Starter.
Right? Oh, starter.
Was the starter at Tennessee at quarterback when Peyton Manning was a freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
And then decided to go play baseball and maybe had a Hall of Fame
smart
career.
Smart move, yeah. It looks like as of this moment, and that guy gets all those votes in
Ryan
advance.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, there you go. He's got Adrian Beltre with 99%, Todd Helton with 82.5%, Joe Mauer with 83%. He'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and then Billy Wagner at 78.4%.
Is this Billy Wagner's first time on the ballot?
No, he's there last
no.
year, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he could get in down the road.
I think we just put too many people in. We're putting in
it is,
too
it
many
It is
people.
The Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Good.
Right.
And I think Billy Wagner kind of fits good.
To hit 300 for a career is, I
super
think,
hard.
Is really difficult, man.
And he had a bunch of extra base hits and home runs, too, right?
Mauer was even better. Mauer had a lifetime 306 average.
Well,
hit more home runs.
Mauer should be in because it's very, very hard to hit as a catcher.
Yeah, he also won an MVP.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
I mean, once Scott Rolen
did Helton
got
win an MVP?
No. Helton did not win an MVP. Huh? No.
Okay.
As soon as Scott Rolen got in last year, the Hall of Fame doesn't mean really that much anymore. They're just letting whoever in that they want.
Well, the reason I think Rolen got in was there's very few third basemen in the Hall of Fame.
Damn,
just like catchers. You know, there's like Piazza and Bench and Yogi Berra. And
he was good defensively.
Not very many others.
Yeah, there was, by the way, he did not, I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Not at all.
Well, didn't he get in at the tail end of his ballot? Like, he'd been on the ballot 7 or 8 years and he finally got in, right?
Yeah, lifetime 281 hitter. Yeah, no.
Yeah, if he's in, Steve Garvey should be in, and he's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But well, he might become a.
He may be in the
Senate. Become senator.
Doesn't have time for the Hall of Fame. He might be the senator.
He's trying to win. Yeah, I don't even know if people know this. He's on the ballot, but he's not campaigning.
Yes.
He thinks that just being a big name in baseball will get him elected as senator. Well, and he's not doing any ads. He's not doing any debates. He's not doing any appearances.
You've seen the latest polling, right?
Is he in?
Number two behind Schiff.
I'm
Steve Garvey.
Steve Garvey. Remember back in the day, we'd always say, someday he's going to be a senator.
Yeah, he sure looked like it.
Yeah. And now he maybe. All right, coming up next for you, you can do some What's Up Fool, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, as a sports fan, you always want your team to be well coached and to win. And you know who is always winning, always getting ready for the next opponent? That is my guy, Jacob. Think about this. If you've been injured in a car accident, truck accident, slip and fall at a store, rideshare accident, whatever it is, it might feel like you lost the game. Don't worry, the accident is only the beginning of the game. Call Jacob. Get the free consultation. Trust me, Jacob knows the weakness of the opponent. He knows how to exploit and go on attack against the insurance company to provide you the victory that you deserve. So make sure you're on a winning team. If you're injured in an accident, don't wait. Call Jacob. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember...
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
CallJacob.com. He's a winner. Make sure you're following Call Jacob on Instagram. Go to @call.jacob for great advice and prizes and more. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Morales. All right, so this is a little bit of an older story, but it's kind of making the rounds again.
Okay.
So Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell has maybe the weirdest coffee order of all time. I want to know what would happen to both of you if you actually tried to drink his coffee order. Have you seen it before?
No.
All right, he drinks 2 venti coffees from Starbucks with 2 espresso shots in each of them for more than 1,100 milligrams of caffeine, which is... a lot.
Yes.
A lot of caffeine. What would happen to you if you actually tried that?
I would sleep even less than the 3 hours I sleep
now. Would you be
for
like 4 days straight?
Yeah.
I don't think much. I have 2 quad espressos every day. That's 800 milligrams of caffeine. So I'm not that far off from Dan Campbell. The show might... I may be even more animated in the show.
Will you do it before a show tomorrow? Before the show tomorrow?
Sure. What is the objective?
It's 2 venti coffees from Starbucks with 2 espresso shots inside of that.
Yeah, sure. What the hell? I'd do it.
And you have to finish both
Lord
of them.
Jesus.
You've seen me drink. I mean, I chug espressos like it's nobody's business.
I understand, but like people have done.
If I did that on YouTube, I might be awake until Sunday.
Really? I am going to do it tomorrow, and it's going to be like blast off. Let's go!
Wow.
People tried it, and they videoed themselves doing it.
Oh, really?
After one of them, they're laying in bed like I just can't do this. I have to work from my bed
I'm
today.
I'm in.
Too
Bring
much.
Me the Dan Campbell coffee order.
Okay, let's do it tomorrow.
Do it tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow.
I thought there was like a limit that they could give you.
There is.
Not?
Wait a minute. A limit in
of
what?
Like caffeine.
Okay, no, there you is. Order one, you order one, and then
yeah, they,
wait a minute. There's no limit
yes,
on
there
caffeine.
Is.
No, there's
there
not.
Yes, there is.
No, there's not.
So I ordered one time, what is it, a caramel macchiato upside down, and I added 6 shots, and the girl said, no, I can't do that because there's a limit of how many shots I can give
you. Oh, how many shots per drink.
So, but it adds up to the caffeine, so there is a limit.
Right, right. I see there's a limit. But you could get 2 of those.
Yeah, I mean,
two.
Right, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you could. It's not. They're not like cutting you off. But no, I do get that. No, I don't think it's that big a deal, to be honest with you. I'm already wired, so what the hell?
I would do it, but if I can't work, then I'm out, Greg, and you can't
Why
tell
would
me
you
nothing.
Not be able to work?
Because didn't he say there's people laying in bed?
Yeah, people laying in bed.
How do
like,
you
I
lay
can't.
In bed
well,
after
no,
drinking
they're
that
all
much
jacked
caffeine?
Up and, like, they have to, like, I just have to stay in bed because I'm all jacked up.
Wait a minute. What? But why, if they're all jacked up, wouldn't they want to do the opposite of stay in bed?
That's what he was saying in the video, the guy that tried. I mean, that sounds right, but either way.
Maybe it's over.
I drink a lot of coffee. I cannot do this.
Senses overload, maybe, you know?
Well, remember, Dan Campbell is a huge guy.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
So that
and he does bite people's kneecaps off, right?
He does.
After all that coffee, I get it.
He's going to go in a third time, too.
Yeah.
What's up, fool?
All right, guys. Anthony Rendon was on a podcast this week.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up.
I saw this.
He doesn't speak too much, so this was kind of surprising. In his words, he said, the season needs to be shorter. There's too many damn games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you guys is, do you agree with this, and what would the sweet spot number of games that you would implement for the baseball season?
All right, first of all, I don't agree with it, and second of all, wrong messenger.
Correct.
He's averaged 50 games a year for the last 4 years, and after he did this, somebody came out, was it Jonathan Papelbon?
Yeah, I've got the tweet right here. He says, played with Rendon, and he literally hates baseball. Yeah, it's long. It's what you signed up for. Just tell the team you want to play half the season, and you can give back half your salary. John Rocker tweeted, dude plays 50 games a year. What does he want for the season? To be 30 games? It is true. He is the worst possible.
This would be like Kawhi Leonard advocating for the NBA to play once a week.
Yes.
That's money.
Do you know anybody in the NBA who hates basketball? I'm sure that guy exists.
There are people that don't love basketball. Like, remember Michael Olowokandi?
Sure.
The number one pick of the Clippers several years ago? I was working for the Clippers back then, and I remember after...
By the way, I think it's several as in 20.
After a couple of months, I said to Ralph Lawler, I go, I don't think this guy likes basketball. And he said, you are correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't have a passion for it, then it's going to affect how you perform. And I think Rendon is a classic test case for this.
Well, I stole this from Ramona, but, you know, the care factor. How much right. do you care? Obviously, Anthony Rendon doesn't give a damn. So, yeah.
I think it was a very weird point for him to make. Now, if Cal Ripken makes that point, you pay attention. Anthony Rendon makes it, and you go, geez, dude, how many games off do you want?
Congratulations to the Angels on that signing.
What's up, Foo?
All right, guys, here's a personal one for me. So I am notorious for losing jewelry. When I get gifted jewelry, whether it's expensive or inexpensive,
mm-hmm.
I may or may not have lost something that was given to me recently right now in the studio, and we were trying to find it. My question to you guys is, if you guys get gifted something mm-hmm. and you guys lose it, do you guys just tell the person or try to replace it with something cheaper? Because that's what I was going to do.
It's a great question. Is it a ring? Is it a necklace? Are they earrings?
It's a no stud.
Okay.
A no stud. Is it pricey?
My fear of you replacing it with something less expensive or fake is that can your friend tell?
I don't think you could tell. It's pricey-ish. Like adjacent.
But would you really want a cheap nose stud in your...
No.
I mean, but
she's trying not to offend the person that gave it to her.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting a nose stud.
Do it. Think? I love it.
Why
do
not?
It.
Just for fun?
Just for fun. And if you don't like it,
a week? Oh, no, get rid of it. Yeah. No, does the hole ever go away?
Some people does. Mine didn't.
Then I'm not doing it. I can't. This thing is my moneymaker right here.
How about the ears, huh?
Yeah, exactly. No, ears... You know, it was weird. Ed Bradley, very distinguished 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Earring. I always thought that was the weirdest thing, but I mean, good for him.
Tim Duncan,
yeah.
Tongue ring.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Never do that.
Yeah.
I wanted one a long time ago.
No, thank you.
No.
Well, you like pain?
I mean, I do,
that has got to hurt.
Ouch.
But it messes up your teeth.
Yeah, Laura, most of the time when you're... you're trying to perpetuate a fraud, it catches up to you.
I'm a bad liar, John, so that's my problem.
So that's working against you, too. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
But
just
I do.
Just tell him you've looked high and low all over the place. And by the way, if it's something they bought, how long ago did they give it to you?
Probably like a month ago.
Okay. If they bought it with a credit card, if they bought it with an American Express card, anything lost or stolen is purchase protected.
That's true.
So they may be able to get you another one.
See, I don't even keep track if somebody's using... I'll tell you who keeps track. My brother. My brother will get my mom a purse and then say, why don't you ever use the purse I got you?
Oh, please.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really rough. I'm just like, use his purse. Do it. Just to...
I mean, I don't think he's going to be mad because he knows I lose things, but I feel bad because I always lose things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't buy a back alley nose stud.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something you should go cheap on. Is that it? You
What's
guys
that
got one
food?
More.
I got one more.
For
yeah,
you.
There you okay. go. So I think it was about 2 months ago, Subway came out with the foot-long cookie.
Yes.
And it was such a success that they just announced this last weekend that they're coming out with a foot-long churro and a foot-long pretzel as mm-hmm. well. So my question to you guys is, if you have one dessert item in foot-long fashion, what would you take?
Of those three, I'm taking the churro. Do I get chocolate sauce with it?
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Of course.
The cookie, it's too much cookie.
Have you seen the cookie?
It's a foot long. It's too much cookie.
It's so baked. Good, it's baked in the pan, like a pizookie at BJ's.
And what was the third thing you said? Churro, cookie, and what?
And pretzel.
Pretzel.
Pretzel, yeah. Pretzel is... That's too much pretzel. Give me the churro.
Yeah, no, I like that cookie baked in the pan is like the thing. That is so good.
A foot long cookie, though?
Is foot long?
Oh, yeah. You want a foot long cookie? That's a big cookie.
That's,
you
gotta, a big
that's
cookie.
Not like a one person thing. That's a multi person food, right?
I mean, the churro, John has the right answer. It's the churro.
Oh, it's
churro.
The cookie.
Foot long churro. Seen it?
Heat up the cookie.
That's only like this.
Put some ice cream on it. Lights out. See ya.
Have you guys seen them?
I'm with you.
The
No, I've not seen them yet.
So there's a Subway right here in Little Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So we are walking and. You know, some of them are available, some of them weren't, but they were being advertised. And I'm like, I don't know if I would actually, purchase it.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks sus.
Isn't it?
Sorry, I don't know if they're a partner, but you know, foot. My bad.
6 inches to a foot. A churro is usually about 6 to a foot.
And this is a foot long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's doable.
All right.
I mean, how big are the Disney ones?
Usually pretty big.
That was my first.
Oh, I guess. Actually, I got a question about Disney for you guys.
Okay.
Coming up next. Also, there were some specialty items on the menu in Buffalo yesterday, and they are named in honor of a Kansas City Chiefs fan. That is coming up next for you. Mason,
I wonder
Ireland.
Who.
Yeah, exactly. 710 ESPN.